For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcast and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Gentlemen, welcome to the Rock and Roll Union Podcast. Welcome to Monday. Welcome to episode 154, guys, and welcome to a great show we have for you this evening, guys. We will be joined momentarily by the frontman of the Alice Cooper Tribute Band, one of the best Alice Cooper Tribute Bands out there, in my humble opinion, Zillion Dollar Babies. The man himself, Kevin Mercer, will be along momentarily. We're going to talk horror movies. We're talking Alice Cooper. We're going to talk horror soundtracks and things along that line. All Halloween themed, guys. Hopefully you guys are amped for the holiday coming up. You got your plans. It's on a Sunday this year, so get the trick-or-treating done. And hopefully you guys get your parties going and everything's good. Want to say a big shout out and a big thank you to everybody that helped out with the Autism Speaks benefit that we just came through, guys. We gained we gathered $800 for Autism Speaks, guys. Really excited about that. Really happy with all the bands that showed up Friday night. What a kick-ass show. If you missed it, guys, you truly missed out. Great bands, great music, great time. And if you had been in the house, you'd have seen my wife attitude adjust me onto the pool table, just saying. Want to say a big shout-out to our sponsors, Rosenfeld Dental Associates, located at 1095 Inman Avenue in Edison, New Jersey. They are just 5 minutes from Metro Park. You can find them online at www.njsmile.com. Once again, that's www.njsmile.com. Come rock your smile with the Rock Doc, David Rosenfeld, nominated one of New Jersey's top dentists for 2020. Discounts apply for Rock and Roll Union members. Make sure to tell them that CT sent you. also our partner, Phoenix Custom Printing. Guys, if you're in the market for band merch, or if you're looking to get those family reunion t-shirts done or something special for the holidays, Phoenix Custom Printing is the way to get it done. You can reach out to them at 410-206-2081. Once again, the phone number is 410-206-2081, or you can drop them an email at phoenixcustominc@gmail.com. Once again, that's phoenixcustominc@gmail.com. Make sure to tell them that CT sent you and you'll get 25% off your total order. And last but not least, the home of Pick Sticks and Laminates, Brett Hunt Customs. If you guys are looking for that special something that you guys need to take your game to the next step, this is the guy to call. You can reach him at 410-508-1233. Once again, that phone number is 410-508-1233. Tell him that CT sent you or that you heard it on the Rock and Roll Union podcast, and he'll take 25% off your total order. So, guys, like I said, a great evening of music ahead of us. Really, really excited to talk to Kevin, get our horror stuff down. If you guys know anything about me, man, I am a big Alice Cooper fan. I'm also a big horror movie fan. I go back to the old days, man. I'll go back to Bela Lugosi, back to Bram Stoker's Dracula. Not the movie, the book, and everything in between, Boris Karloff, the whole nine, man. But we're going to kick this off with a band that's not around anymore, but we're going to see some of the members in a future grouping, shall we say. But this is a song that I've loved. I've played it every Halloween show that we've had since we started, and this is Lady Diesel's Monster.
If I were your vampire, I'd bite you on your neck. If I were your vampire, who could
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
This is Lance Storm, and if I can be serious for a minute, you're listening to VOC Nation Worldwide.
VOC Nation is one of the longest-running wrestling podcast networks, having started way back in 2010. VOC Nation provides daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with their hosts and guests via phone calls, emails, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts also include former backstage interviewer from both AWA and WWE, Ken Resnick, former WCW performer The Maestro, former Impact performer Wes Brisco, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributor Brady Hicks, and former Philadelphia radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirt, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. Both shows take callers live during the show, and recent guests have included General Adnan, Tito Santana, Haku, Earl Hebner, Danger Sandy Davis, Jimmy Hart, Ricky Steamboat, Brodus Clay, and so many more. Archive-free content includes past interviews with huge names like Hulk Hogan, Jesse Ventura, Kurt Angle, Sting, Mick Foley, Joey Styles, Howard Finkel, and so many more. Listen live at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all the podcasts by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. And be sure to follow these guys on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Hola, this is your amiga, Shelly from Cali, to let you know you can catch me here on VOC Nation for Shelly Live. You never know what the hell I'm going to be talking about. Sometimes I have guests. Sometimes I let you on in the chisme, spill a little tea. Sometimes I cry. You have to tune in to find out why. And I also take your calls. I love chatting with you guys and seeing what the hell you guys are thinking. So meet me here on the VOC Nation. Be there or be square.
Rock and Roll Union for the past 2 years has been the place for rock and roll, new rock and roll, debuting rock and roll, and some of the old classics as well. We have welcomed guests from around the world, national artists and more. We've excited many people by our live events. We've welcomed everybody into the fold, and we continue to do so on a weekly basis. Guys, that is Rock and Roll Union, and that is what we do for you.
Saturdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, VOCNation.com. Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro, talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out. VOCNation.com. WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Rock and Roll Union Podcast, guys. Welcome back to our special Halloween special. Kevin Smith will be, or Kevin Smith, Kevin Mercer. You can see I've been watching horror movies like Tusk. Kevin Mercer will be along with us very shortly. But in the meantime, I just wanted to address two things. One, we have a very special, our next benefit show coming up November 14th at the York Inn in York, Pennsylvania. Our friends in York will finally get to see a Rock and Roll Union show, but we're pairing up with Magnetar for a food drive for the York food drive at York Inn in Pennsylvania. Also, the other thing I wanted to address is going into November, we're doing something very special here at the Rock and Roll Union Podcast, and we're going to be reviewing the top-selling albums of all time, the best, the greatest rock albums that have existed sale-wise. And we're starting that off next week with our friend Mark McCarty of Rat Rod as we address Back in Black, AC/DC Back in Black. Mark McCarty, of course, of Rat Rod, and you know how much they love their AC/DC there, guys. So it's going to be a fun evening, and we're going to just to give you a taste of what's going to be coming up on the podcast. So we got Back in Black, then we're going to be doing Pink Floyd's The Wall, the Beatles' White Album, Led Zeppelin's debut, and Eagles Hotel California. Eagles Hotel California will wrap that up. That'll be on the first night of Hanukkah, the last Monday in November. So really excited to get that series started, guys. We're going to have a lot of fun with that, and it's just going to be a good time all around. So with that being said, I just wanted to once again wish all you guys an early happy Halloween. Whatever you guys have planned. If you have anything to weigh into the Alice Cooper discussion tonight, you can reach us at 914-338-1885. We're going to go ahead and prep the Alice Cooper with a song off of his first solo album. This is Steven.
Steven! But if that's the way that God has planned you, I'll put pennies on your eyes.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is How the Nightmare Began. That was Alice Cooper with Steven. It is my pleasure to bring our friend on board who has been with us several times. This is Kevin Mercer, lead singer of Zillion Dollar Babies. Kevin, thanks so much for being here tonight.
Hey, what's up, CT? How you doing, man?
Good, man. Good. So, you know, I got to ask, because you do it several times throughout the year, dressing up as Alice. How do you celebrate Halloween, Kev?
Generally with a show. It's usually our busiest time of the year around Halloween. Other than a Kiss tribute band, you can't ask for a better show in a club.
Absolutely. Now, what do you guys have coming up this weekend? Are you playing out?
This weekend, we have a show up in North Jersey. We're doing a benefit show for the, what's it called? I should have been better prepared. It's the Metal Militia Foundation up in,
Gotcha.
It's in,
what is that?
I'm
trying to remember it myself. I want to say
Metal Militia. It's where Old Bridge. That's it.
Old Bridge, New Jersey.
It's where basically Megaforce Records was found. Where Metallica actually started playing their first shows on the East Coast. Metal Militia has been around for many, many, many years. We're doing that show Saturday. We've also got a couple of other killer acts on the bill as well. Made in America, really good Iron Maiden tribute is playing. And our good friends Denim and Leather are going to be headlining the show. So is it going to be a good show, but I mean, it's going to be a good show for me to watch afterwards as well. So you can't really go wrong with that.
Now, are people still able to pick up tickets for that?
As far as I know, yeah, they're still on sale. I can give you the link right here. Hold on a second. It is. Yeah, tickets are still on sale. Oldbridgemilitia.org is where you would get your tickets.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, Old Bridge guys have been there. They, like Kev said, they've been there forever. And they were big with Overkill. Overkill was a big part of Metal Militia. lot of good music coming out of there. Murderhead, I know, has also had their time with Metal Militia. So, yeah, really, really cool spot. And a hell of a show, man. So I know you've been busy with the Zillion Dollar Babies, and I know you've also been kicking ass with that Land of Oz. You guys have been going everywhere.
Land of Oz, yes. Yes. Yes, we have. That's a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to doing more shows with them. We actually have some shows coming up in the area, not till February and April, but still. Those of you who have not been able to see Land of Oz, you will now. We'll be playing at the Landis Theater in Vineland in February, and we'll be playing the Sellersville Theater in April.
Awesome April 15th. Places, man.
So, yeah, so those are going to be actual local shows for a change. Normally our shows are like 4 or 5, 6 hours away, but these are actually local shows. So if both of these shows are going to be full production, and I mean, you know, when I say full production, I mean like production you've never seen for a tribute band before. I mean, we've got like the full video screen, the effects, everything.
And I got to say, I'm really excited. I'm definitely coming out to that Landis Theater. I got tickets this week.
Nice.
My wife and I, our anniversary is actually on Wednesday. And we got tickets for Thursday. We're going to see the Evil Dead musical that's playing over at the Landis Theater. Great place.
Really? I've never even heard of that.
Dude, it's great. I mean,
Evil
Mind
Dead
the Language
musical?
Guys, they it's so goofy. They got a song called What the Fuck Was That? We're in the VIP zone. So in the VIP zone of Evil Dead the musical, the first three rows is known as the splatter zone. So if they kill anything on stage, it gets all over the first three rows.
Oh, that's awesome. That's killer.
So
and
my wife is huge. Like, her favorite thing in the world is Evil Dead. So we wanted to see it when it was in New York. We missed the time, but now it's at the Landis Theater. And I got to tell you, the Landis Theater, guys, is an awesome place. So if you haven't seen Land of Oz, you guys will have your chance in February, and that's going to be killer.
Yeah, that's going to be a good show.
Kevin, between me and you, man, just with the backing and the support that you have in this area, I can't see tickets lasting long. That's definitely going to be a sellout show.
Not sure about that. From what I've heard, Landis Theater is a pretty big hall. So we're hoping for a sellout. It'd be great. We're going to give it a hell of a shot. I mean, yeah, we do have a lot of fans in the area. So we're pushing for a sellout. So fingers crossed.
So the next thing I wanted to talk to you about is where we're going to save our Alice discussion for a little bit later. But I wanted to ask you and tell you a story that might make you chuckle a little bit. So I'm a teacher, and I have a teacher's assistant. My assistant's 21 years old. I got kids that are older than my teaching assistant. And I went into work the other day, and I said, you know, I've been watching a lot of the old horror movies for Halloween time. And she said, yeah, I know. I just got done watching Hocus Pocus. And I said, no, I'm talking like Bride of Frankenstein and The Mummy and the old Universal Monster movies. She
right.
had no idea what the hell I was talking about.
Yeah, Hocus Pocus is not a horror movie, and not as far as I know. I've never actually seen it. It looks more like a comedy, I think. Not a horror movie in my book.
So what's your October viewing like? Do you watch a lot of horror in October?
Well, doesn't everybody? I mean, shouldn't it? I know last weekend the wife was away, and I really didn't have anything to do, so I just sat in front of the TV. I think I watched four horror movies, like, right in a row. It just seemed like the thing to do. So, and they're all over TV now, so there's always something good you can find. So
yeah.
There's plenty out there, and it's definitely worth watching.
Any thoughts on, and I'm sure you've seen it, any thoughts on the new Halloween movie?
It's actually not bad. I mean, it's got its moments. It's got a higher body count. There are a lot of characters from the original Halloween that are in the movie, as well as some actual original cast members that are in the movie that you might recognize their name or you might recognize their face. But yeah, I thought that was kind of cool to include them in it. Where it lost me was at the end, and I can't really say it without spoiling the ending, but they just kind of make the same movie mistake that they've made with every other Halloween. I was like, you know, you kill Michael Myers and then you, oh, he's dead. And then you like walk away and like, you know, he's going to get back up again. Dude, how many times has this happened? Wouldn't you just like hack him to pieces and then like burn the pieces like and scatter him to the four winds so there's no possible way he can get back? It's like, you don't just kill him. You got to like kill him and keep killing him. And they don't do that. Then again, they've never really done that in any of these movies. So I guess I'm not really spoiling the ending by telling you that.
Right.
But yeah, that's kind of, you know, and I was like watching it and the way the ending is set up, it looks like, okay, yeah, there's no way Michael's going to get out of this. There's just no way. And then he does, you know. and again, there's just some annoying parts that really get to me that I can't really say without spoiling. But that said, it's still worth watching. It's better than a lot of the other Halloweens that have been out. I guess the last four or five maybe, or just kind of like, let's throw it out there just to make some money. But yeah, they put some more into this, so I enjoyed it.
I got to say, since they rehashed the kind of like the Jamie Lee Curtis storyline, which I think this is the third one since they rebooted everything. And like, I agree with you as far as I love how they tie the original and this one together. I think that they did a better job of that this time around than they did the past two. Some of the murder scenes were brutal going back to like early 80s Halloween movies. And the other thing I got to say is I remember a part in, if you remember the movie Monster Squad, the kid was watching some movie and it was like some kind of like Jason type, Michael Myers type movie, and his mother said, you know, they could blow him up and send his limbs to seven different continents and he'd still get back together. And yeah, like you said, it's the same kind of premise with Halloween.
Right.
But I mean, it makes it fun. Any other new stuff that you're watching? Anything notable?
I go for the classics. You know, The Exorcist, One of my personal favorites is It's Alive. I just watched that last weekend. I love that movie. The more recent ones, probably Hostel. The first two Hostel movies were just incredible. I really love those because they're more like realistic and it's like it's something that could actually happen. And it just makes it that much more scary. The two Hostel movies are great. That other one by Eli Roth was really good, too. Not really a horror movie, more of a suspense, but it was called The Green Inferno.
Yes.
Really good. Really scary.
I got to say, you know, I was going through,
really good.
Going through Netflix with my wife as far as Hostel is concerned, and I was surprised as hell, and it's old now, that there was actually a third Hostel movie.
That was one of the ones I watched last weekend. Yeah. It's actually not bad. Did a nice twist on it. Hostel comes to Las Vegas. I dug it. It was cool.
That's good to hear, man. Cause I was like, this has got to be cheesy. The worst new horror movie, as far as I'm concerned, that was kind of, I was a big fan of the Purge series until the newest one. I didn't like the newest one at all.
Have not seen it. It seems like they're really trying to run that one into the ground.
Yeah.
I like the Saw movies. Those were all really good. Even like the last one, they're all like really well done. They just keep coming up with new ways to kill people. I just find it fascinating. Wow, I didn't think of that. Like, who thinks of that? You know, like some of the methods that they come up with for killing people. I'm like, wow, really? What twisted mind came up with this concept? You know. The other one I really liked recently was Get Out. That was really, really good. Different horror movie, but really good.
I'll tell you what, there's been a chain, I think, of recent horror movies that I've actually found myself liking, like The Conjuring or Insidious, I thought was pretty decent. And one movie that I thought was kind of underrated, but I absolutely loved it for what it was The Babadook.
Not familiar with that one.
The Babadook, and with you being an Alice Cooper fan, I'm sure you would love it. It's a story that the mother would tell her son before he went to bed every night. And then the story from the creature from the story ends up coming to life.
Okay.
And like terrorizes the kid. It's insane. I love the movie. It's got an old school spooky feel to it. To me, the best kind of horror is that horror, not the gore fest so much, but the kind of leaves you with a feeling that you're afraid to turn out the light.
Right.
That's my kind of horror. That's what I love.
Yeah, that's mine too.
Like, I remember Stephen King had a quote that he said, the gross out factor was like the least, the lowest level of horror that there was, and that the highest was more intellectual and more make you think. And that's what I think Asian horror has been fantastic. I'm not sure if you're a fan of Asian horror.
I've seen remakes of Asian horror movies, you know, like The Ring and what was that other one? Damn, I can't remember. But yeah, The Ring was like a remake.
Yeah. The Eye.
So, but yeah. Okay.
That was another one that was, I want to say like early 2000s that they came out. But so going into kind of the Alice Cooper thing, man, how long, like, have you been a fan of Alice Cooper? When did you decide to start tributing Alice Cooper? And how many times have you seen him live?
Oh, boy. Okay. To start off with, if I recall, when I was a kid, I'm pretty sure that Alice Cooper Greatest Hits was like the first album I ever owned. So, yeah, it goes that far back. So many questions in a row. All right, so that's question one. What were the other questions?
When did you decide, like, at what age, and where did the whole tribute idea come into play?
Oh, I don't. You know what? I dressed up as Alice 1 year, and for Halloween, and it looked really good, and I got like so many compliments. I was like, wow, I do look like Alice a little bit, I guess. You know, as far as singing, I've been a bass player for most of my life, so I didn't really start singing. I started singing kind of by accident because I was in an AC/DC tribute band, and the AC/DC singer didn't show up for practice one night. So just for, you know, instead of canceling practice, since we were all there, it's like, all right, I'll just do it. And I'm just like screwing around and stuff, you know, just to get through the practice. And they said, wow, you sound really good. Why don't you sing? And I said, well, all right, if you find another bass player, I'll do it. So I started doing that. And then I started getting the idea, all right, well, if I can do that, what other bands could I sing and that I could pull off tribute? So the original idea was to have a tribute band that had like a set of AC/DC, a set of Alice Cooper, and a set of Ozzy Osbourne. So we went through the AC/DC set. We went through the Alice Cooper set. They both kind of took on lives of their own, and we never really got to the Ozzy set, and we just said, you know what, there's too many Ozzy bands out there anyway, so there's no point in doing it. So, and we already had enough on our plate with the other two, so I just stuck with the Alice and the AC/DC. So That's kind of how it came about.
Wow. So how long have you been playing, Alice?
About 6 years now.
Wow. Man, I got to say, you do a hell of a job, and you bring the full effects, and like even to the smallest place that I've seen you at, you bring the effects.
Right.
And the costume changes. And
yeah.
How much fun is that for you?
Oh, it's so much fun. I mean, how much fun is it to like get made up like you're going to a Halloween party and just act like a total nut and nobody cares? It's like, wow, okay, well, let me rephrase that. People do care. They don't get that it's an act, that it's a show. We have been banned from some places because I go too far, but hey, you know, if they don't get it, they don't get it. So, but I mean, the people that know Alice, they get it. So, you know.
Now,
but
can
yeah,
you
there
explain,
was this,
without saying venues or areas or anything, can you explain, like, some of the reasons you got banned? Like, what was going too far?
It's usually mostly because of the song Dead Babies that we play.
Gotcha.
And I do tend to, abuse a rubber baby doll on stage. It is a piece of plastic. It's not a real baby. Some people get offended by it, but I guess they don't get that it's an act. I believe, if I'm correct, that one place some woman was so offended that they actually called the police. So that venue never booked us again. So, I had to laugh. So, you know, of course, me being me, I just decided to take the dead baby, you know, sketch to like a whole new level, like with a bigger baby and a bigger, you know, the whole carriage and every, you know, so, and abuse it even more. So you've always got that to look forward to at the next show. So,
man, and like, how many times have you seen Alice live?
That is a tough one, man. I think the actually first time I saw him was like 1991, maybe. I've seen that. Let me count. I've seen him with Judas Priest. I've seen him with the Scorpions. I've seen him with Motley Crue. I've seen him like 5 or 6 times on his own, maybe 7, 8 times on his own. So probably about a total of 10, 12 times, I'm guessing.
Wow.
So I just saw him like a couple months ago down in Atlantic City when they kicked off their tour down there. And
now,
he's just
how
as good
that
as
show?
He.
And I got to say, the last time I seen Alice was in Camden, and I hadn't seen him for a while, and he seemed to totally redo everything. He had been on a kick of doing the same songs in the same set for a while. And then when I saw him again, now he was using the whole castle kind of motif in the background. He didn't do Ballad of Dwight Frye, which I was really surprised because that was really a staple for him. How was the Atlantic City show?
It was good. He did change some stuff up. Did some songs I've never seen him do live before. Did some songs that probably only your diehard Alice fan would know, like from the 80s, that sort of thing.
Gotcha.
I think he even did a song or two that I didn't know. Mind you, I'm a big Alice fan, but I don't know every single fan. He's got so many albums. And I mean, there's some albums I've never even heard. Alice will tell you himself that they're during a period in the early 80s, there are 3 or 4 albums he doesn't even remember making. So that shows you how good they were. So, he did some.
To those early 80s albums, I thought they were the worst. Things like Zipper the Fashion and
Special Forces.
Special Forces, yeah. Those were hard to watch. Hard to listen to.
Not so good. Not so good. Right. Well, everybody's got their clunkers. Back then he was like so out of it with his substance abuse issues, you know.
Yeah.
Thank God he's all clean and sober now. But, yeah, you know, he looked like he was a goner there for a while. So, and then the next thing you know, he comes back with like three or four great albums, and he's right back on top again, you know?
Yeah.
So
I got to say, the ascent for him, as far as I'm concerned, coming out of those drugs was like From the Inside. I thought that was a phenomenal album. And I think that started picking things up a little bit. But before the show, like this past week, I asked you to come up with what your top five Alice albums are. And what would you say would be your number five?
So tough, man. So
yeah, I know.
Tough. Let me think on that. All right. Well, I'm probably going to get crucified here, but I'm a big fan of like the later Alice albums. Number five, I would probably give you Trash. It was probably, you know, on his comeback level, it was probably like the best of the comeback.
Yeah.
Just so many good songs on there. Poison, House of Fire, Bed of Nails. I mean, geez, it's just such a great album from start to finish.
I was a big, or always have been a big Steven Tyler fan. So that Only My Heart Talking, I absolutely love that song. And I got to agree with the Trash album just because, you know, it was a bit more, he had Desmond Child, I believe, working on this album. And he had some guest hosts like John Bon Jovi, I think, was on this album.
Yep, he
was. I think Kip Winger was on here at some point. But
I'm not sure. Well, he used to be an actual member of Alice's band. So before he was Kip Winger, he was Alice's bassist. So.
No shit. I never knew. I never.
Oh, you didn't know that. Yeah, well, before there was Winger, he was Alice's bass player, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I think I would put Trash right there for my number five as well. How about number four?
I got to go with Hey Stupid. Again, I would say Trash and Hey Stupid are like neck and neck. I mean, there's so many great songs on that album too.
Yeah.
One
wasn't as commercially accepted as Trash was, but yeah, it was a great album. And Feed My Frankenstein from Wayne's World being on there.
Feed My Frankenstein, Hey Stupid. And, you know, I hate to admit it, but you know, I think he was collaborating with Desmond Child at the time, but I mean, it made a difference. You know, he made some really good music, you know, with Desmond. So,
I think my number four is
that album all the time.
I think four for me would be The Last Temptation. I absolutely love that album.
Mm-hmm. Good album.
You have
got a couple of songs on it.
Oh God. Why does Chris Cornell on there? I remember when the album first came out, it came with a comic book, and he did a trilogy of comic books with this album. And
right.
I bought into the whole thing. I thought it was great. Like the whole kind of like sadistic carnival atmosphere to it. And I think there were some great songs on here. Things he kind of tried a little bit different. Lost in America was on there.
Yep.
Unholy War,
yeah,
I thought
that's
was great.
Yeah, I've listened to that album
a
while. I have to go back and listen to it. Yeah, it's been a while since I heard that one. I'd have to go back and listen to it. It's not on
now,
my regular playlist.
Now we get into the nitty-gritty of it. What's number three for you?
Again, I'm going with the 80s. I'm probably getting crucified because I'm skipping over all the classic stuff. But, I like Raise Your Fist and Yell. In my opinion, from start to finish, every song is great. It's probably his second heaviest album. It's got the whole 80s guitar sound, you know, and it's just like super heavy. You got Prince of Darkness on there. You've got Freedom. You've got chop, chop, chop. I mean, you can't get much heavier than that. But yeah, it's just a really solid album in my opinion.
Do you know if that was Kane Roberts' era?
That is Kane Roberts. I'm not sure. I think that might have been. No, he was on two albums. He was on Constrictor and that one, yeah. So
yeah,
that was kind of a different twist for Alice. But hey, whatever. I mean, the guy was a good guitar player. He might have had muscles like crazy. I mean, it looked kind of silly to me. But still, he was a great guitar player. I'll give him that.
Now, for me, my number three would be the Welcome to My Nightmare album. Absolutely. I mean, for his debut after the band, for his solo debut,
such
great tunes on there, The Black Widow and Welcome to My Nightmare. And I will always watch the production they put out for the TV show every Halloween time. I love watching it with the whole dancers and realizing that, you know, that's when he met his wife. And there was just a whole lot of stuff around that. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe that Disney helped promote that tour.
Really? I didn't even know that. That's interesting.
So, yeah, that was...
Okay, but yeah, really, really good album, yeah.
Now, what do you got for number two?
Number two, I have Brutal Planet. It's a later album, but it's by far the heaviest album he's ever done. And again, every song is just heavy, heavy, heavy. It starts off with the title track, and it just doesn't stop being brutal like throughout. Some of the lyrics are just like the heaviest, most intense stuff he's ever sang. And the guitar, I think I read an article on I read it in Alice's book, come to think of it, in the making of that album. And the producer just kept hammering on the guitar players. Nope, not brutal enough. Not brutal enough. So they just kept, you know, the riffs, you know, they would just go for a heavier, more brutal sounding riff. And like, it just worked. Every song was brutal. So you can't get more brutal than that, I guess.
My wife and I, like, we're both big Alice fans, and one of our favorite songs comes off this album, which is Give Me. Give Me was such a killer song, killer video, and that was a really cool concept, I really think, for that song.
Absolutely.
And what is number one?
All right, you're probably going to crucify me for this, but... I mean, all the classic albums are just so great. It's almost impossible to pick just one. I could have easily picked like the first few albums, and those would have been most of my top five. But I decided not to go that way because not every song on those albums is great. I mean, you've got Billion Dollar Babies, you got School's Out, you got Love It to Death, you got Killer. They're all great albums, but not every song on every album is great. So for my number one album, I cheated. And go ahead, crucify me. I picked Greatest Hits. Plus, it was the first album I ever owned. So Greatest Hits covers all those albums, but like the best of those albums. So
yeah.
So I cheated.
To me, I'm probably the stereotypical Alice fan here, and I go with Killer. Some of my favorite, like, just straight-up rock songs came off of that, like Under My Wheels and Be My Lover. Just great stuff. But, you know, I got to give a couple honorable mentions as well. His newest album, I think, is fantastic. I think it's a throwback to that.
I like it, song. Yeah.
And I also got to give a heads up to his Hollywood Vampire stuff. I thought that stuff was pretty good.
Yeah, that's really good too. I had a chance to see them a couple years ago on that first tour there. It was really good. I enjoyed it. Not so great on the second album for some reason, but the first album was just really good.
I wonder if it had something to do with the songwriting, because, well, the first album being a straight covers album. But it's really cool to see Johnny Depp stepping away from the movies for a little while and playing guitar.
Yeah, I was a little skeptical of that. I saw him live, and Johnny can play. He's not a virtuoso by any means, but he can play. Could be better at the stage presence, but, I mean, he is Johnny Depp, so he doesn't really need it. I just remember Alice was introducing the band members, and, you know, you get to the drummer, and the crowd goes, ah, and you get to the bass player, ah, and this is Joe Perry. You know, it goes even higher. And then they get to – and this guy, and then, like, the – you know, the crowd went from to, like, you know, all female. Like, you could just hear the pitch of the crowd, and, like, it was, like, deafening, like, total, like, every female in the room. Like, they couldn't believe they were, like, that close to Johnny Depp. So it's actually a pretty brilliant move on Alice's part. So
yeah,
brought a whole new audience to see Alice, pretty much.
Man, and I got to say, you know, I'm a giant Aerosmith fan. They were one of my first favorite bands. And Joe Perry is like almost a godlike status in rock and roll. And
right.
It's funny to hear like the crowd difference between, you know, you got a rock god up there and then you got Johnny Depp, who I'm not taking anything away from, but he's not Joe Perry.
No.
And you get more craziness over Johnny Depp than you do Joe Perry.
Mm-hmm.
It also makes me wonder how many guys got their girls to go just over the case that Johnny Depp is on guitar.
I'm sure there were tons. I guarantee it. I remember seeing a couple of Facebook posts that literally, I can't believe I'm 150 feet away, but I'm this close to Johnny Depp, you know? So, yeah.
Man, I'm hoping he does something new with that soon. And, you know, one thing I always said for Ozzy Osbourne was that he always surrounded himself with these amazing guitar players. And then mm-hmm. if you go back over, like, the past at least 15 years with Alice, he's had the most kick-ass female guitar players anyone's ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Well, he had Oriente, and now he's got that new one from the Iron Maidens.
Nita Strauss.
Nita Strauss, and she's like the best in the band. I mean, she just kicks ass, like, over everybody else. So anybody who says that women can't play, that's total bullshit. Not only can she play, but she can rock.
And to find out that, you know, I follow her on social media, and she's actually the great-great-great-granddaughter of something of Johann Strauss. So that she's got the legends in her family. So the apple didn't fall
That's
too
cool.
far with her.
Right.
And
she's definitely a highlight of the show.
She's been doing some stuff with, like, the WWE recently, like wrestling. She's been doing different, like, entrance songs and stuff like that, playing guitar, which is kind of cool to see rock get any kind of exposure like that.
Right. Well, isn't that what WWE is all about? You know, like, all their intros and everything like that are pretty much like, hard rock and heavy metal. So I'm not a big WWE. I don't really follow it, but... You know, what I have seen, yeah, is, you know, you hear Motorhead and you hear, you know, what have you, but, you know, so.
And now I hear Nita's actually going on her own tour after she's done with Alice,
mm-hmm.
which would be kind of cool to see her by herself just to see what she does. I mean, she's put out some killer, like, solo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I'm big into, I mean, Chuck Garrick, who's also in his band, has his
mm-hmm.
own Bicho Blanco, which Bicho Blanco is phenomenal.
With Alice's daughter, that's correct.
Yeah.
Calico. Yeah, they kick ass.
Now, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, if you know this, I know it was Calico originally dancing for him when I first started seeing him. But I think his younger daughter is dancing for him now. Am I correct?
I believe it's his wife, Cheryl Cooper.
Cheryl's still up there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was on the she was when I saw them in Atlantic City.
Wow. You know, he's I started listening to this. Audible's got this really cool thing that's a free listen if you're a member. And it was it's called In Their Own Words. And this is the second one that they've done. The first one was Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day. And, you know, he talks about the getting together of Green Day and where they came from and things like that. And then he goes and he redoes some of the songs that they did, but kind of like acoustically. The second one, which I'm listening to now, is Alice. And he's talking about the whole beginnings. He just started talking, the point where I'm at, he just started talking about Cheryl. And some of the songs that he redid acoustically, like I'm 18 and Under My Wheels, just phenomenal the way he, to hear his older age sing this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember meeting Alice at Monster Mania in Cherry Hill, and Cheryl was with him. I think everywhere he goes, he's got his wife with him. I think that maybe that's where Rob Zombie got it from.
Yeah, I lived down the street from that place, and I found out that Alice was there. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know. I could go and dress up and go meet Alice and get my picture taken with him. And, like, by the time I do all that, it's going to be over and he's going to be gone. So I missed my one and only opportunity to meet him. I would have been there in a flash if I had known. I was so pissed.
Now, I kind of felt like a dick. I'm going to put this out there, and I kind of felt like a dick because I didn't realize the full original Alice Cooper band was there. So I waited in line for about 3 hours to meet Alice.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I met Alice, I just kind of walked away because without realizing that the next table down was the original band, I didn't even say a word to him.
Really?
I was like so high on meeting out. And then once I got back, they're like, you know, the original band's there. I was like, oh my God. So.
Wow.
Yeah. I felt like a dick in that ass.
Yeah, I've met the other guys at some of those conventions before. I just never had a chance to meet Alice. It seems like I'm always, like, just missing him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, as a matter of fact,
I mean, he's down to earth. What killed us was me and my family waited in line. We just wanted a family picture with him. And the brilliant guy that ran the place said, we're no longer doing group shots. You're going to have to do your photos one by one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just going to slow the process. That's not speeding anything up.
No, that's kind of silly. Well,
so instead of taking one group family shot, we proceeded to get six shots of everybody.
Okay. So that cost you like six times the money, though. That's the thing.
No. They charged us the same. I got him to sign the I'm sure you remember the old I think it was from the 80s, the Alice Cooper Marvel comic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Found one of the vendors selling that, got Alice to sign it. He was really cool and really good with the kids. But you know, it's so funny to see so many bands that emulate him, but knowing that he also has that steep in Christianity, so he still has that moral fiber to his being.
Okay. That's cool. Yep. I can't disagree with that.
So, I mean, I remember I was able to ask him one question, and I asked him about that, and he, not realizing that his father was a pastor.
Yes, he was.
That they were missionaries for the Native Americans and all kinds of stuff. Like, that was his upbringing.
That's right.
And crazy stuff, man.
Yeah, well, it's kind of interesting that you know, Alice was spawned from that environment, kind of like as a rebellion, you might say.
Yeah.
But, I mean, now Alice is born again Christian himself. So who's to say what's right and what's wrong?
And, you know, I think I have every DVD that he's released.
But I have a few. I don't have everyone, though.
There's one video, maybe it was the Billion Dollar Babies tour, where he had the mannequin on stage with him and he was spitting down the front of it and collecting it on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was on that video he was hitting on some girl that was in the first couple rows and her boyfriend was getting pissed.
Okay.
And the more her boyfriend got pissed, the more Alice hit on her. And the guy was trying to jump the rail and everything to get it out. So it was absolutely hysterical.
Now I got to watch that. What was it? What was that again?
I believe that was the Billion Dollar Babies tour.
All right, I'll have to look.
Either that or the Super Duper Alice Cooper that came out.
Okay, I have that. I'll have to go watch it again and see if I can spot that.
But as far as this coming week, Kevin, what do you have in store for your Halloween hauntings? I know you got the shows coming up. You doing anything else beforehand?
Beforehand, no. That's actually the next show Saturday up in Old Bridge. The week after that, we do have a show down at Halftime in Newark, Delaware.
Nice.
We're going to be headlining. It's going to be our full show. It's also going to be the very last Zillion Dollar Baby show for quite a while. So we're kind of announcing it as the last show. Technically not the last show. We got some retooling to do and some new members to gain. So we're basically rebuilding after this show. So it's going to be a while before you get to see us again. So if you want to see the show, the full show, be at Halftime in Delaware. And on the 6th, Saturday, November 6th.
Wow. And I know you can't foretell the future, but any thoughts or any hopes on how long of a downtime it's going to be?
It's kind of tough to say. Like I said, we need to replace a few members. We need the new no-shows on it. If you know anybody who thinks they can pull that off, let me know. But we're looking around. One of the issues is COVID. I know our drummer is not a big fan of big crowds during COVID. So he's kind of wants to back off for a little bit to see how it goes. So we're just kind of, I guess we're just calling it a hiatus at this point. So it's not like I'm going to be sitting on my butt and bored. I've got all this other stuff going on. I've still got, Land of Oz, and I've got Ultimate Live Evil, the Dio tribute band to play with too. So, and there's also some talk of a Metal Gods reunion show. So might be doing that in the very So that should be cool. No dates yet, but we're just in the talking stages right now. So,
now I know you were in an original band. Are you guys doing anything with that?
No, we haven't done anything in about a year. Things just kind of, with COVID and everything, it just kind of fell apart. We used to practice once a week, and then we stopped. And
gotcha.
And then before you knew it, this guy was in this band, and this guy was in this band, and this guy was in this band. And, like, we didn't really have time to go back to it. So it just kind of fell apart. No hard feelings or anything like that. It's just, everybody's too busy to do it, so. We're all still cool. Guitar player Greg is still my guitar player and Zillion Dollar Baby. So yeah, there's no hard feelings for anybody in the original band. But it was fun while it was lasting.
Gotcha. So yeah, dude, I'm really excited to see everything that you got coming down the pike, man. I'm betting my ass I'm going to get out to that Halftime show just because I remember when we first started with Rock and Roll Union, like one of our first things was trying to come out to a Zillion Dollar Baby show. So definitely got it.
That was one of our earliest shows too. I think if I'm not mistaken, that was the first show we used in Nurse Rosetta, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
That was
pretty
cool.
That's the one thing that I got to say as well is that you always had the, You had the entourage. You had the different characters with you, which was awesome. And, yeah, I really enjoyed everything that you guys have done so far. So, really hoping the best.
Well, we've been working at it hard for a long time. So, I mean, you know, we put a lot into it. So, yeah, we'd like people to see it for sure.
Any thoughts on any other kind of props or anything that you'd like to use? If you could pull anything out of the Alice, like, wardrobe, what would it be?
Prop-wise or clothing-wise? Well, I had been working on I was going to make a suit that he wears for Black Widow with the spider arms attached to it and stuff. I just figured since we're going on Hades for a while, probably not going to be using that just yet. So, but that's coming. And, you know, we've always discussed doing the guillotine. Just seems like the venues we were playing, it just kind of wouldn't work out so good with the guillotine. I know how he does a trick. It looks awesome every time he does it, but now that I know the secret, it's like, you know, it's no big deal. But in order to do that, you need a big stage with, you know, something that can accommodate that. And that's just not – and not at this point. I mean, if we eventually get to theater shows, sure, I'd love to do the guillotine. So, and it's easy to do. It just, you know, needs someplace big enough to use it. That's all. So, yeah, those two things are possibilities in the future. So we'll see.
Awesome. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for taking time out of your night to hang with me here for a little while. And, dude, do me a favor and post all the upcoming shows on the Rock and Roll Union page so we can make sure we get some people out there getting some tickets and getting their asses out to the show. And
will do.
In advance, happy Halloween, my brother.
Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure.
We'll be talking soon, dude. Have a great rest of your week, Kevin.
You bet. See ya.
So that was Kevin Mercer, man. I'm telling you, between Zillion Dollar Babies and Land of Oz, he is a busy, busy, busy guy. We're going to go ahead and do a double shot of Alice Cooper. Here is I Gotta Get Out of Here.
I got it. blame the burns or the scars on my face. Somebody please wake me up and get me out of this place.
Excuse me?
What part of death don't you get?
Whoa, 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 wait a
what
minute.
What part of death don't you get?
I'm sorry, you're talking to me.
What part of death don't you get?
Thank God for a nightmare.
What part of death don't you get?
Really? I mean, that's a little drastic,
what part
don't you
of death
get?
Don't you get?
I can't, whoa.
What part of death don't you get?
I get it, but I don't get
what
it.
What part of death don't you get?
I'm sinking air.
Just dance to that rock and roll station, and it was all right.
That'll do it for us here at the Rock and Roll Podcast. That'll do it for us here at the Rock and Roll Union Podcast, guys. Have a great Halloween. Be safe, and we'll talk to you next week. Much love.